Morning. Hey. Hi, birds. You sound good. Birds, it was singing the other day, and I'm not sure why this came to me, but it occurred to me that you birds must have been the first philosophers on Earth, because you were around long before, you know, humans or our ancestors. You've been tweeting all these years. Yeah, let's figure that out. So honestly, I want us to continue paying attention. So if you have any advice to pass along, I'm listening. What do you got? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, I'll try that.
Standing at the crossroads, trying to read the signs, to tell me which way I should go to find the answer. And all the time I know, plant your love and let it grow.
Let it grow, let it grow. Blossom, let it flow. In the sun, the rain, the snow.
Nothing left to show. Plant your love and let it grow.
Let it grow, let it grow. Let it blossom, let it flow. In the sun, the rain, the snow. Rest is up to you. Plant your love and let it grow. Let it grow, let it grow. Let it blossom, let it flow. In the sun, the rain, the snow. Let it grow, let it grow.
that's nice. It's Eric Clapton's birthday. It is, as we let it grow here. It's Eric Clapton's birthday. It's Warren Beatty's birthday. Van Gogh's birthday. I mean, we are challenged to knit it all together today, and we will. We're live and in color and in person, and thanks for joining us. It's Gary Lee Wright. This is Pirate Radio from Chicago. It is 7 after the hour on a beautiful, sunny Tuesday morning here. 52 degrees in the Windy City. And it just hit me. I was looking at how half of the country is ripping their masks off, and the other half is trying to figure out how to deal with the uptick in COVID. Chicago weather, it's kind of the same thing today. We have, a nice day. It's going to be 64 today, and then tomorrow it'll dip into the 45 degree area, and then on Thursday it's gonna be 37, and the low is under freezing. So yeah, I think that's about right. We're just surfing the weather and the world here. It's 52 degrees right now. So some good news. I saw this. I want to know more about it. I know nothing about it. In the large topic of environment. President Joe yesterday, President Biden, announced that they're going to dramatically increase offshore wind energy development. These are getting a whole bunch of big wind farms off the coast. And I'm going to get into this more. Maybe Aaron and I will tag team a little bit. I don't know anything about it. I know the word gigawatts came up in this, and I'm still trying to figure out what kind of light bulb to get in the ceiling, so I thought that was over my head. But anyway, I think that is the future of something there, as we tap wind energy. So I thought that was a good story. This kind of surprised me. Boys who regularly played video games at age 11 were, fill in the blank, are you ready, were likely to go to jail? No. According to this, they were less likely to develop depressive symptoms 3 years later. That is a new study by the University College London. This effect was only significant among boys with low physical activity levels. So researchers assert that this might suggest, that less active boys could derive more enjoyment and social reaction from video games, but not necessarily the real active ones. The study does not confirm the relationship being causal, but it says that there are lots of positive aspects of video gaming. It could support mental health, such as problem solving and social and cooperative and engaging elements. As you know, video gaming has been, it's been the one thing a lot of people could do as we locked down here. So we'll look more of that. The lead author is Dr. Aaron Condola. He previously led studies finding that sedentary behavior appeared to increase the risk of depression and anxiety in adolescence. This is National Walk Day. I'm going to throw that in. But you knit this all together, and the research team will tell us more about that. So they're not all bad, we think, the video gaming. I got to get up on this. I bailed out after Super Mario Brothers. All right, you know what? Coming up in just a couple of weeks here, we're going to hit the, for what it's worth, a one-year anniversary of the program here from Chicago, which through no particular plan happened to debut on 420 last year. We were on the air April the 20th. Yeah, I know, it's kind of an inescapable connection there. Anyway, I thought on leading up to that, we would maybe pull off a couple of shows, and maybe we'll do something on cannabis. I was thinking about this the other day, and I enjoyed so much talking to Portia Mittens, who runs a dispensary, and we were talking about how corrupt and effed up the whole allocation of licensing programs is in Illinois. Well, here we go. A Chicago-based marijuana cultivator and dispenser, this is from the Chicago Tribune today, that has rapidly grown into one of the nation's biggest pot firms. God, the hippies are rolling over in their graves here. It's under federal investigation for possible pay-to-play violations during its push for coveted state licenses. Investigators have been scrutinizing campaign donations and other steps by Green Thumb Industries. As it sought to secure growing and distribution licenses in Illinois. In Illinois, you have to grow the pot in Illinois to sell it in an Illinois dispensary. So that's one of the things that's going. No charges have been filed. I'll tell you, man. Should we bring an old hippie in here? Come on in, old hippie. What do you think? Well, back in the day, see, we thought like pot was sort of God's gift. And the idea of selling it. So what do you think about these things now? I just can't believe it. First, we were trying to stay away from the government. Now we gave the government the rights to the pot. And now we can't get any pot. So, yeah. All right, I'll let you work on that. All right, I got a good one. This happened in Oklahoma. It's one of those stories. Oklahoma Goodwill employee found a whole bunch of cash hidden in donated clothing, and she turned around and actually gave it back. Andrea Lessing was in the back of a Oklahoma Goodwill store looking for rips or stains, it says here, when she saw the treasure. The first thing that she thought of was that her six-year-old daughter needed a birthday thing coming up. But hang on. She said that she believes in karma and she couldn't imagine keeping the money for herself. She reported the lost cash and they were able to track down the owners thanks to some documentation that they had inside the stuff. Get this, the amount of money. Wait a minute, $42,000. And the clothing donators were happy, but it says They forgot what they did with the money. What? Hang on. The 42 grand? Did you look in the pants?
Son of a gun.
Strategically dipped below.
topic, things that people used to care about. We used to wonder what that song was about. That's Carly Simon on the Pirate Radio. It's 18 after the hour here. From Chicago, and who was that song about? We thought it was about Warren Beatty. That was the deal. Warren Beatty, son of a gun. He shows up. He is 83 today. So, I don't know. But, as they say, stuff that used to seem important. I'll tell you what's important today is a visit to the land of art therapy. We're going to talk to Stephanie Clark. Stephanie Clark is an art therapist. I don't know much about that, but she's going to join us live, and we're going to talk about art and therapy. And yeah, so thanks for joining us, and hang on. Also, you know, by the way, just a personal thought here. I told everybody I was kind of midway in the vaccination. I had one of the two shots of the Pfizer. If for any reason you're listening to me and you just don't know what to do about the vaccine, and I think young people in particular don't have the, you know, they're not in front of the line here, so it hasn't been on their radar. You know what? If for whatever reason you just can't figure out how to get vaccinated, we'll see what we can do for you. Drop me an email. It's radioanything@gmail.com. Radioanything@gmail.com, and we'll see what we can do. We'll steer you to whatever resources, such as they are, we have to help you out. And if you'd like to talk your story through, that's even better. It's 844-220-3300. That's our toll-free number all day long, 24/7. Yeah, all right. So what else did I have for us here? You know, today is a doctor day. In fact, all right, I'll tell you my point, but it is National Doctor Day. I'm feeling better.
They are often the first people we see coming into the world and the last people we see going out of it. They're bearers of both the best and worst news. We don't always want to see them. When we do, we're grateful they're there. They're doctors, men, women, all with a unique combination of skills and training that set them apart. What they do isn't easy. The bar to becoming a physician is high. Late nights, stress, education. The challenges don't end with training. Doctors willingly take on the burden of responsibility for their patients' health. Why do they do it? For the compelling power of the physician-patient relationship to enhance, to extend, and to save lives. On National Doctors Day, we would like to extend our thanks and appreciation to America's physicians. We understand what you do and why you do it. We are glad you are there for us and for all of your patients.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, how the meaning of doctor has changed. You know, we get so many indications of that from media. I was looking through, you know, the doctors of my youth, the TV doctors of my youth, and so many of them were like Marcus Welby shows up. And then I asked Sparks to ring in House. No, well, you know, come on in here. You want some painkillers?
I was playing golf in my cleats got stuck. I mean, it hurt a little, but I kept playing. Next morning, I could barely stand up. Well, you're smiling, so I take it that means this isn't serious. What's that? What are you doing?
Painkillers.
Oh, for your leg.
No, because they're yummy. You want one? Make your back feel better. Unfortunately, you have a deeper problem. Your wife is having an affair.
What?
You're orange, you moron. It's one thing for you not to notice, but if your wife hasn't picked up on the fact that her husband has changed colors, she's just not paying attention. By the way, do you consume just a ridiculous amount of carrots and megadose vitamins? Carrots turn you yellow, then niacin turns you red. Find some finger paint and do the math. And get a good lawyer.
What clothes to this beautiful lady is walking around with me, and then she asked me, do you feel alright? And I say, yes, I feel wonderful tonight. I feel wonderful because I see the light in your eyes, and the wonder of it all is that you just don't realize how much I love.
Music from the birthday boy, Eric Clapton, here. At the 26 after the hour, it's Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright. And I am surrounded here in the studio with stuff that I like to be able to operate. Pieces of paper, pencils, crayons, paint. I'm not an art guy. But, you know, I've always had the vicarious thing. You know what Bob Ross is?
Van Dyke Brown. And maybe today we can, let's get a close-up of what the knife looks like when it's loaded. There's a small roll of paint right on the edge of the knife. There, you see that roll of paint? That's what we work with. Okay, now let's put a big tree right up through here. All we're gonna do is touch the canvas, just touch it. The roll of paint just comes off and makes your tree for you. Okay, we'll just let this one go right on up. Okay, got one side done. Now let's do the other side of the tree. There we are.
How's yours look? Mine's going well.
And just keep going there.
Oh, damn it. Hang on, I'll redo that part.
And you can make as many trees as you want in your painting. That's what's so nice about painting. You create your own world and you control it. You can make anything happen in your world that you want.
The irrepressible Bob Ross. We found out Bob's voice has some hypnotic quality. It's like rated among calming influences. Anyway, that's Bob Ross, and I always thought of him as the kind of an art therapist, but I have a real art therapist joining us. Her name is Stephanie Clark. She is from Chicago here, from Rush, and we bring her on this morning. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So, you, me, and Bob Ross, how about it?
Oh, love it. Love Bob Ross.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves Bob Ross, don't they?
I thought they did, but I don't know. I always thought of him as the art therapist. Today is also Van Gogh's birthday. But talk about a guy who needed art therapy. We'll save that for a second or two. How long have you been an art therapist?
I've been working as an art therapist in Chicago for about 8 years.
Mm-hmm. You like it, obviously. And how do you know?
Love it.
Do you? And how's it working? Are people getting better?
You know, I work at Rush, like you said, and I work with veterans who have been diagnosed with PTSD. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Bob Ross, they're a big fan of Bob Ross because, you know, he was a veteran in Vietnam. Yeah. And they oftentimes they come in and they're like, oh, this is kind of stupid, arts and crafts. But when they start creating the art and they're asked to express how they're feeling on the inside with the art materials, they're more times than not, they're surprised by what comes out, and it's very therapeutic for them.
Do they worry about how good it is, whatever that means?
They do. And I give my little spiel at the beginning. We say, you know, art for art therapy is about the process, not the product. But, you know, we can't help but fear judgment from other people. So we work through that during the art therapy session or art therapy group.
Do you art? I don't know the word. Do you art yourself?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
What do you like to do?
Textile art has always been my main thing. I like to weave and make paper and felt with wool.
Mm-hmm.
But I do a little bit of painting, and I do some more craft type art, I guess you could call it. I do soap making and stuff like that.
Are you any good at it? These are jokes. I'm sorry. That's terrible.
Good,
you did that. That's awful. Don't. No. Go ahead. Do you enjoy doing the art, your art after a day of doing art therapy? How's that work?
You know, it depends. Sometimes I'm if I've had an intense day of art therapy, I'm just kind of too tired, and I like to take care of myself in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mostly I practice my own art and my own therapeutic art. Maybe on those days I'm not as exhausted.
Yeah. It's half past the hour. This is Pirate Radio from Chicago. Also from Chicago, our guest Stephanie Clark, who is from Rush University Medical Center here in Chicago. And part of the Road Home program, what is that, Stephanie?
The Road Home program is kind of a separate little program at Rush University Medical Center. They're funded mostly by the Wounded Warrior Project, and we work with veterans and their families. So we have an IOP, which is an intensive outpatient program, where we fly veterans in from all over the country free of charge to attend a 2-week intensive program.
Wow, you fly them in?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. We fly them in. They get to stay at the UIC guest house. They get 3 meals a day. And so it's 8 to 5 every day. It's very intense, but we treat their PTSD. It's an awesome program, and so I do art therapy groups for that program, as well as our outpatient program where we serve veterans and their families in the Chicago area.
We have so many so many veterans with PTSD, Ross from the Vietnam era. Bob Ross. There's an old picture of me that looks like Bob Ross. I don't want to terrify you. You just got up. Anyway.
Did you have an afro?
Absolutely, I did. You know what afro sheen is, Stephanie? I was the only white guy in America wearing afro sheen. But yeah, so I know that era pretty well. And I don't know what to say. The need, you know, for what's the word? Reparations in that way of trying to make these people whole again when they lost it. How is that working? And how do you know if it's working?
Well, we know it's working because they take pre and post surveys, and they also take surveys every day. So we get that quantitative information.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also fill out the surveys, and we get the qualitative. We're always getting comments about how this program has saved their lives.
Gosh.
They're kind of their last-ditch hope before family leaves them, or you know, some of them have pretty strong suicidal ideations uh-huh. before they come to us.
I'm tearing up here, Stephanie. So it's not just tell me about your background. I'm going to guess that you have multiple degrees. Go for it.
Yeah. So to practice art therapy, it's a master's level degree. And so, you know, you might do undergrad in art or psychology. I actually did pre-art therapy. So mm-hmm. art and psychology, and then you go to the master's program. And now they're mostly art therapy counseling, so that sets us up to also obtain our clinical counseling license, mm-hmm. as well as our art therapy credentials. So I'm also a LCPC, licensed clinical professional counselor.
Oh, my goodness. I thought you were a young woman when I saw the resume here. I realized you must be 80 or 85 to have acquired all this.
Yeah, I look and sound younger than I am.
That, Stephanie, is a gift.
That's what people tell me.
Stephanie Clark is our guest this morning. She is an art therapist. That's a job description. I know a little bit about this because one of my daughters was interested in art, and she was going to be an art therapist. I had never heard that term before, but I have the impression that it wasn't nearly as specific as it is now. And you talk about, you know, specific qualifications and things like that. So give me a success story. There must be dozens of them, hundreds of them. The day that you realized you had chosen the right path.
Oh, gosh, yeah, dozens and dozens. Well, I can talk a little bit about the work I'm doing now because I think I've kind of landed in a niche that I really enjoy with working with the veterans. Mm-hmm. Before working with veterans, I worked with children in the Chicago area, mostly in child welfare, which was very rewarding but very difficult. You don't get to see the outcomes as well as you do with the adult veterans. So, mm-hmm. I tell you, my favorite experiences with art therapy with the veterans is usually, I kind of hinted at this a few minutes ago, but it's usually when these like tough combat vets come in. They've got all these tattoos and they have this presentation of being, you know, very strong and tough, and we work in the program to kind of get to who they are on the inside. So the art therapy directive that I use for these folks is make a mask. So they make a mask. And what I kind of say is, you know, we all have masks that we wear every day. We have a way we want people to see us, or there's a certain way we project ourselves to the world, so maybe we want to look stronger than we are, more stable than we are. And then we have a self on the inside that maybe we don't share with the rest of the world. So the vets get these paper masks, and they're supposed to decorate the front using the art materials to represent the self they show the world. And then on the inside is that self that they keep private. And this is just where the magic happens. And when they actually, and usually they do take it seriously, and they start working, and they're working, and they're joking around. We listen to music in the art room. And then when we get to the group processing, the stuff that these people, that these vets put on the inside of their masks is just moving and heartbreaking. It's a lot of anger and pain and maybe friends they lost in battle or even by suicide afterwards. Mm-hmm. And the images you see is just heartbreaking. And sometimes they end up tearing up, and then I tear up. I cry almost every time we do the group processing. Mm-hmm. And I love that they come in with this perspective of what this art therapy group is going to be, and then they leave knowing that they really got to some stuff they weren't expecting, and they got to share it with other people, and other people got to see what they've been carrying on the inside. So, I mean, it's not one example, but that happens over and over again in this program, and it's just really cool.
Men are not generally raised to cry.
Men are not, no. So they, and that's what, maybe I'm a little sadistic, but that's what I love about this process is they come in, they're like, oh, yeah. And then more often they cry, because they're being vulnerable and they've exposed themselves.
I hadn't, you know, you started talking about masks. I know, I'm not sure what I'm getting at, but you know, in this era, when everybody's wearing masks and I don't know when this was, maybe about a year ago, the first time I saw sort of a non, you know, surgical mask, And the thought was, well, you know, this is a fashion statement, you know, but, so we're all wearing these masks now, but, what you're talking about kind of in any era, right. Would, you know, if you had anyone in any era and you said, do a mask, outside what you reflect to the world, inside what you really think, I'm thinking you're going to hit pay dirt, you know? Let me ask you this. What, you as a therapist, do you say to somebody, you don't ever say, do it again, Ed, you can't, it's got to be worse than that. You know what I'm saying? Do you encourage them to, do you say, you know, give it up more, or how about that? Do you work with them on
that? Yeah, no, sometimes people are a little of maybe hesitant or with the materials, or they don't want to be that vulnerable, and so they'll do something kind of generic, and I can kind of tell just by talking to them. I might talk through it a little bit. Okay, you know, what do you have here? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll just offer some suggestions. Recently we had a vet come in, and he just left the inside blank, and he was like, because I have nothing inside of me. So I sat with him and was like, okay. And then we talked a little bit, and then he started talking about his, I think it was his mother who had died recently, and his family, things weren't working out with his family, and I think they were, maybe he was divorcing from his wife, and all of these things, and I said, you know what, you are not empty inside. You know, why don't we think of putting some of that in here, using symbolism? So sometimes removing yourself a little bit from those painful things inside by using a symbol can be helpful. So he put some of that in there, and then he put a curtain on the back of it, a very thick, well-placed curtain to show that he does have that pain inside, but he doesn't want to let other people in. So he even put a cover there. So that's an example.
This is Stephanie Clark. Stephanie Clark is an art therapist. She works in Chicago here at Rush, which is a big hospital, Rush University Medical Center. It's part of the Road Home program. And just join us. We're talking about art therapy. Stephanie, we're talking about men and male veterans. It's not, as I know you know, lots of women veterans in there. Tammy Duckworth comes to mind as a prominent veteran here. Are there women in your program?
There are. We serve men and women, and you know, it's probably equal amounts. We do a combat PTSD IOP, and then we alternate it with MST IOP, so military sexual trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And we do end up having co-ed groups sometimes because, as we know, men experience sexual trauma as well. Yep. And we also have women who have combat PTSD. But the MST cohorts tend to be more female.
Wow. Can you hang on just a second? Let me just take a quick break here. This is Stephanie Clark. Stephanie, when we come back, I'm going to ask you to hit me up with a website or something. I don't have it in front of me. Some way that someone listening right now can not necessarily get a hold of you personally, but get more info on your thing, okay?
Sure.
And we'll come back and we'll talk more about art and therapy and stuff like that here on Pirate Radio from Chicago.
Pollution prevention is not just about reducing or eliminating waste.
It's about creating a cleaner, healthier world.
We can do this by changing industrial production processes,
using less toxic substances and products,
and conserving resources by recycling materials.
You can help prevent pollution with just a few simple steps. Turn off the lights when you leave a room to save energy.
Use products with recycled content to reduce waste.
Buy WaterSense bathroom fixtures and stop leaks to conserve water.
Buy Energy Star appliances and light bulbs to reduce air pollution.
Choose design for the environment labeled products to reduce hazardous chemicals in the environment.
You can help save resources, energy, and money.
I'm doing what I can. You can do your part to create a healthier environment for you and your family.
Prevent pollution. Preserve the planet.
Let's do it. It's 43 after the hour here. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. And what an opportunity. I've never met this woman, and I had just a moment of I don't know what the word is. And while I'm trying to figure out what the word is, we'll bring her back here. It's Stephanie Clark. Stephanie is an art therapist here in Chicago. I guess the word is this: these lights went off in my head here, Stephanie, and I can see what you're doing there. You must want to get up in the morning.
Oh, I do, and and like I said, sometimes I cry with them, and I actually tell the vets who come in I have the best job in the whole program. So I love it. I love my work.
Can we? I was going to write down a website. Do you have one in your head by chance that we can put on the air here?
For the Road Home program.
Yeah,
or for our therapy.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. The Road Home program is at roadhomeprogram.org. So it's just spelled like it sounds.
Okay.
ROAD. Yeah. HOME program.
Very good. Let me ask you one final thing here. People that are not veterans, they just, you know, they're just walking through life here. And I'm a therapy advocate. And anybody who listens to the show knows that I need it. So we
we all do.
But anyway, so I think to myself, well, if somebody is, maybe they have PTSD or they're not a veteran, they need therapy. Are there art therapists, I think, out there in the world, you know, that they could get into a thing with? Does that make sense? My question?
Yeah, art therapists work wherever mental health clinicians work. So there's art therapists at hospitals. I know Lurie Children's has a really good team.
Okay.
Private practice, mental health centers. You could find them anywhere.
Good. Stephanie, come back anytime you want to, okay? I mean it.
Oh, I'd love to. This was fun. Thank you.
It was remarkably educational. And that's a word that none of us like to use in the sentence with "it was fun." So
it can be fun and educational.
Stephanie Clark, art therapist from Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. It's roadhomeprogram.org. Stephanie, have a great day today. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Wow. Bye. Should we hit the highway? Let's do it. You want to?
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. Life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. Road again, like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway. We're the best of friends, insisting that the world keep turning our way, and our way is on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again.
I do like Willie. I'd be Willie Nelson. There you go. It is 12 before the hour. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright. And Aaron Mittens, the news baron, joins us here on the show here. Aaron, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Did you hear the that art thing?
Yeah, that was really, really cool. I like
She's blowing me away. I just figured out what we want in the morning when we do interviews. We want people who like their jobs. We want people who, you know, get up in the morning and do some of the good work. That was, I'm inspired. So, yeah. Better if I'm funny, but I'm inspired. Hey, speaking of funny.
No pressure.
Speaking of funny. So, we were trying to look at, let me see what you sent me today. Hit me with this. All right, this is good. My uncles Wilbur and Orville, who invented the airplane. You know about them. They are in some way involved in this Martian mission. Tell me more.
Yeah, so the Perseverance rover, we keep talking about it, mainly because there's so many hidden gems that are unfolding from this mission. So another part of this rover was that underneath, on the underbelly, there's a 4-pound minicopter that's stowed away. So they're going to drop this down, then rove away to take videos of this. It's going to be the first time that we're going to have an off-planet flight. And so there's this rover, and one of this 4-pound small, tiny thing is going to go 10 feet up in the air. But in one of the rotors is a part of the cloth wing from the original Wright brothers, the maiden voyage, basically.
Wow. Did they get permission to do that, or do you know what I mean?
Maybe it was in the public domain. Maybe it was in government possession, and that's how they were able to do it. I don't know, or it was donated, but I think mainly because it's the first off-planet flight, they had to, you know,
I'm kind of kidding, but there are probably a lot of people that like a piece of that. So that's all right. That's extremely cool. And also in space, you first to the person who first told me about the SpaceX mission, which was, I think, cooked up by our close personal friend Elon Musk. But SpaceX is it's a commercial thing in which there's going to be orbiting. And I think the punchline is none of these people are military. They're all civilians, right?
Yes, yes. So this is the first time that the NASA has used a private company to send its, you know, send its loads up to orbit or into the International Space Station or further. So, so this is going to be the first time that SpaceX on its own is going to have a flight, take a crew up to orbit, have them up there for a few days, manned by a civilian who does have flight experience.
Yeah, okay.
They're gonna make down.
Because I read this, and it sounded like these were just kind of four people who wandered in and won a lottery. But it's not.
Three of them yet.
Three of them did? Okay.
But one was a guy who happened to, he was an entrepreneur, became a billionaire, and then he has a lot of flight experience. He is an accomplished flyer, I guess. I don't know, a pilot. Yeah. So.
And how do the other guys get on? If you don't know, say, I don't know, Gary, but how do the other three, do they pay some enormous amount of money?
Yeah, so since this is the maiden voyage, they had a list of specific criteria. So in society, people that worked in certain fields or had certain accomplishments that aligned with certain key humanitarian credentials.
I don't know. I keep saying we're living in the future here. I hope they like each other up there.
Okay. I hope it wins.
Okay. And a guy he just wouldn't leave me alone. We're here in the space, and we have new odd problems. All right, now here's a new odd problem: Mount Everest. What? It's overcrowded with climbers. And what was the ramification of that?
Yeah. So this only became a story because on Nepal. They have a new rule, and this is the new law they have. Climbers are free to take photos and videos of their expedition and team members, but they cannot take photos or videos of other things that may cause controversy and hurt national integrity and social harmony. So basically, a video was spread around of a long line up to the peak of Mount Everest of people waiting to get their shot to take their pics and whatnot. But this picture of the line broke that law. So,
I know I keep saying it. When I was a kid, climbing Mount Everest, that was something that, you know, not everyone did. But the idea that there's like a line up on Mount Everest.
There's actually a really cool backstory to like the people in Nepal that take the tourists on these missions. Where nowadays they have it stretched out to where you really don't need drag racing on my street here. But
go on, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Whenever you get on the air, your neighbors leave, or they're being arrested. Either the siren goes off, or somebody drags out of the driveway. Okay, so
I'm gonna start taking logs and start climbing.
All right, so go back to where you were there.
So it's a really interesting backstory of how these people, the people in Nepal who are taking the people up and down on these treks, they really cover everything. So nowadays, you don't need to really have any expedition experience to go, see the top nowadays.
These were Sherpas.
Sherpas, yes.
Sherpas, is that right? So so Sherpas are not obsolete?
Well, now their business is booming, as they say.
You are a fount of breaking news this morning, man. We got all this going on here. Gee whiz. All right. Would you be nice enough to hang on for just a second or two?
Type 2 diabetes can have a big impact on your life, but how can it be prevented? Well, the first step is knowing if you have prediabetes, a serious medical condition that puts you at high risk for type 2 diabetes. 1 in 3 American adults has prediabetes, but more than 80% don't know they have it. The good news is, prediabetes can be reversed, and for many people, healthy changes in their daily routine can make a big difference. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Ooh, that one rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Doihaveprediabetes.org. Yeah, go. Don't, if you're driving, do not stop and try to type that out with your left hand. 5 before the hour, this is the Tuesday edition of the show here. Today's the 30th, tomorrow's the 31st. Thursday is April the 1st, and we're going to do some stuff on that. Hopefully not pranking each other in embarrassing ways. And then this is a Passover week, of course, and Easter Sunday's coming up. Whoa! Maybe we'll color eggs or something on the air this week. So, Aaron, I had a couple of things for you. I have a list of headlines that I didn't get a chance to read. You ready? See if you want to dig into these. 3 students cited in theft of a rare tree in Wisconsin. Want no more? What do you think? I should have just remembered that tomorrow we have a Wisconsin cheese expert. So I don't think they're related.
I feel as if in 2016, I was 2 stoplights away from this being me.
All right. In Germany has banned something called the water vitalizer, because it interferes with radio signals. I had no idea. In Rhode Island, I reported yesterday they caught the runaway steer in Rhode Island. Not so fast. It's still. And finally, Aaron, I gotta let you run here. Your neighbors are probably wondering what's going on here. Can you check this one out for me? The headline is, Officials Seize Goats from Home of Environmental Activist.
Ooh.
You want to check that out?
Yeah, I'm going to look this up. Yeah. Goats.
That'd be great if I had the right sound. All right, that's not the right sound. I'll see you tomorrow. This widecast produced in Chicago by Natasha Rodriguez. Have the best day you can.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They really say, What a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.